Welcome, everybody, to another podcast. It is not Win Government Contract Podcast anymore because we are making some big adjustments here at the Government Contract Association. As you can see, I am not the only host today. We have a new co-host, so really excited about the changes that we're making here. If you are joining us live, welcome. If you are watching this on replay, it's good to have you back as well, watching this here on some of our social channels out there. But in a second, I'm going to introduce you our new format and our new my new co-host. So really excited about that part there. But a few things here. We've been doing this podcast for a while now, and some of you are in the government contractor industry. But as you know, that the war of government contracts is only one wing to the airplane. And so we decide we're going to make some changes. So we are changing our podcast name from Win Government Contract Podcast to Grants and Contracts Podcasts. So that's what we're going to be calling our new podcast going forward. But with that said, I'm going to introduce my co-host and we've known each other for a good number of years now, and I initially met this young lady through a new friend I made. My son goes to SCAD, and his daughter goes to SCAD, so we met, you know, during one of the student orientation, became friends over time, and he happens to be the father-in-law of this young lady here, and so that's how we met, and then ultimately we became business partners. So with that, I'm going to introduce everybody to Lainey Buffington. And so, Lainey, go ahead and dive in and share a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got into the grants and contract world. And then I'll share a little about myself, too, for some of you who have not heard about me or don't know who I am after that.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be on. I've always wanted to do a podcast. And, of course, Abe is helping my dreams come a reality. So yes, I kept telling my father-in-law, this was a few years ago, I said, we have got to get into government contracting. Everybody's doing it. We've got to get into it. What does that look like? And he just happened to start talking to Abe at SCAD, and Abe said, well, I actually have the Government Contracting Association. Come listen in and join. So from then I got thrown into the CCM, and I will proudly say that I was valedictorian of my class. So there's that. I have some tips to my fellow class members. If you're taking it, you can reach out to me and I'll tell you some tips on my winning ways. But yeah, so my name is Lainey Buffington. I was in government contracting, and I kind of happened upon working with some nonprofits and quickly realized that is where my heart is. I love nonprofits. I love supporting nonprofits. And I love figuring out the funding world of nonprofits. If that's grants, if that's partnerships, if that's donor relations, whatever that looks like, it has easily taken over my life. And I love each of the nonprofits that I work with. So I'll tell you just some statistics from this year, which I want to preface this by, this is not a normal year. I don't know if this is just a lucky year and this is what's happened. I don't know if 2024 is the year of the grants. I have no idea. But in 2024 so far this year, I've submitted, I think I'm up to 13 grants, and it'll be more before I have a couple more ending in December. A total of $361,000. And currently, I am at 100% win rate for those grants.
Amazing. I have never met 100% success rate in the grant world in my life. So I'm so glad that I can hear that and see meet somebody for the first time.
Which I will say this, that is not normal, and I don't know what is going on, but we're going to try to keep our winning streak for organizations. I also want to talk about, I am a woman on small business, so that's something I am excited about, and that's actually one of the opportunities I'm going to share later is for women on small businesses. So the biggest thing y'all are wondering is grants and contracts, which one is better? You can already tell that my opinion, I think grants win 100% of the time, and I think they are better than contracts. But today we're going to kind of dive into it, and we're going to let you decide what's better, grants or contracts. And if you're joining us kind of coming on late, please drop your name and what organization you're coming from. And we're going to have a giveaway later in the podcast, and you'll be able to win some exciting things.
Wow. So Lainey, our first podcast here together, excited because we're talking about two wings to the airplane now, because, you know, I'm from the contract world, right? Because I live and breathe government contract. Every now and then I dabble into the grants world, but I'm very familiar with the grants community. And if you're just joining us, if you're seeing me for the first time, my name is Abraham Shong. I am the founder of the Government Contractors Association, and we support businesses in terms of winning government contracts. I've been doing that for over 15 years. So I love what we do here. We've trained over 15,000 organizations, helped them win over $2 billion in government contracts. Our batting average is not 100% like Lainey, but you know, on average, the companies that we work with, they win 1 out of 8 proposals that they submit. So which is the normal, the average for non-GCA members is 1 out of 22 proposals that they submit. So 1 out of 8 is actually really awesome in terms of the success rate there. But my background is I've been a lifelong entrepreneur, started multiple organizations, but I've also served in the nonprofit world for a long time also. So when Lainey said, hey, let's do this together, I said, well, now I get to talk about the world that I love, which is nonprofit, but I usually don't talk about it because I'm always focused about for-profit, but now I get to do both. And just give you a little bit of perspective about my experiences in the nonprofit. All of you know that I have a lot of experience in the for-profit world, which I've started over 26 companies. I've sold 2 businesses. And so I've got a lot of history with the for-profit world. But some of you don't know that I've got a long history with the nonprofit world as well.
Well, Abe, while you're talking about your for-profit world, you have to say your statistics. How much money in contracts have you helped win? Because it's a huge number.
So in terms of the total contracts and a few grants in the process, over $2 billion in total contract awards since we've been doing this.
Wow.
And counting every single day. In fact, you know, we'll get a chance to, throughout the whole podcast here, in our journey together, we'll talk about different companies that we work with. We'll bring in different guests so that they can share some of their successes, some of their challenges. And all of you who's joining us, you can actually learn from that as well. So last comment about myself, and then we're gonna have a healthy conversation about which is better, grants or contracts. And obviously, I'm in one camp and Lainey is on the other camp. So we'll probably have to duke it out a little bit here in a second. But my experience in the nonprofit world is this here. When I was young, I went overseas to do humanitarian work with a nonprofit. And we went to Thailand with the goals of going to Laos just to serve the world. And in my early 20s, I decided to sell everything I had in my business, sell everything I own, sell my car, and go overseas to do good work through a nonprofit. So I did that for about a year. My goal was not to come back, but you know, sometimes life brings you in the path that you need to go. Because if I never came back, I wouldn't be doing what we're doing here today. And wouldn't have the opportunity to serve all of you who are small business owners and some of you who are non-profit organizations. So, but I also serve in ministry work for 22 years, doing full-time work. I've always run a business full-time, but I also do nonprofit work full-time. And then I volunteered on different board as board members of different nonprofit organization. And where we, one organization, we started with a brand new organization, and now we're funded about $7 to $8 million a year as an organization, a nonprofit organization doing community work in the Metro Atlanta area. So that's a little bit about my background in the contracts and in the government world. So Lainey, you ready to share why you think grants are better? And we're gonna debate that, but we also have, let me kind of give you a little highlight, a few other things that we're gonna be talking about. So we're gonna be talking about what are grants, what are contracts, what are some of the funding opportunities out there, why you might, you know, why one is better than the other, or why you might need both in your organization, even if you're a for-profit or even if you're a nonprofit. We're going to cover that. And then towards the end, we're going to talk a little bit about some specific grants and some specific contract opportunities that you can go after right now. And then we've got some goodies to give away to everybody. So we have a goodie. One of the goodie is a $1,997,000 course that we're going to be giving away to a lucky winner at the end. So stay tuned. So Lainey, you want to define what are grants, and then maybe we start our conversation there.
Yeah. So grants are a funding strategy. And the biggest takeaway is that you don't pay back a grant. The only reason that you would have to pay back a grant is that if you falsely applied for a grant, but you're never going to have to pay back that money. And it's money that's given to an organization, a company, to further their programs, to further their mission. It's very different from a contract where services are being provided and you are getting paid for those services provided. This is to expand the mission and expand, you know, the overall budget and the reach of an organization or a company.
Okay. Well, contracts is a little bit different. Whereas grants, the funding is used to support the mission of the organization, the nonprofit, or the even maybe potentially even the for-profit. Whereas contracts are a acquisition methods that the government use to further their vision and their mission. So agencies have missions and visions too. And then, so they award contracts to businesses and some nonprofits so that they can go and support through services or through products so that the agencies can meet their mission critical goals, whether it is the war theater, or whether it is the, what we call the civilian agencies. They have different missions, whether it is to protect the environment or whether it is to support families and different organizations like that. So from a high level, that's what a grant or that's what a contract is.
Yes. So personally, I would choose a grant over a contract any day of the week. And I think that's two reasons. First is the grant, I feel like the application's easier. These contracts sometimes are insane. They want all these things from me, and I get to pour out. It's more of a creative writing instead of technical writing. So I think that's an easier application. And another reason I think that grants win in the contract world is there's more opportunities. There's not just federal grants, but there's nonprofit grants, there's personal grants, there's all types of grants. And so with a contract, you only have federal, state, and local.
Well, there's also commercial grants, contracts mm-hmm. too, where enterprise have, you know, they need vendors and they need support for, you know, there's about 34 million. Now, SBA just did the latest survey. There's about 34 million businesses in the United States, and all of them need service. So I would say that there's a lot of contract opportunities out there outside of just the government itself, and because all those are contracts as well. But here's why I love contracts and why I think contracts are better than grants. Contracts, last year, the government awarded over 5.2 million contracts to the small or to the business community itself. And yes, it's more of a proposal writing process, and the proposals can be 100 pages. And I've seen some, you know, over 100 pages. But here's why it's over 100 pages. Because the project is $1 billion. So of course it's going to be more complex because they got more things to cover. The scope of work is going to be larger. So the opportunities, I feel like there's more opportunities for organization because there's so much more volume in terms of contracts out there. And yes, the proposal is more complex, but I don't mind complexity if you can win larger dollar amounts of contracts out there.
I see where you're coming from on that, but I still would just pick, I would pick a grant any day of the week. I think there's more funding for grants and there's more opportunities on. The cool thing I think about grants is that they're hidden. So some of them, whereas a contract, everybody gets to see it, with some of the foundation grants and that kind of stuff, it's almost like a hide and seek. Can you find where they have it posted? And then it's not open to as many people. So then it kind of helps your chances of winning the grant. I also think, do contracts have a national day? Because there is Giving Tuesday, which goes for organizations and some grants on Giving Tuesday. So do contracts have a national day?
Well, every day, see, in the contract world, every day is a giving day, because you know, there's opportunity every single day. And I tell people this here, don't worry if you miss out on this opportunity, there's another bus coming, right? So you never have to worry about missing on something, because and the opposite, right? You don't have to play games with contracts, because it's all visible at any given time between federal, state, county, cities, and local. There's one federal, there's over 400 federal federal agencies. There's 50 states, there's over 3,000 counties, there's over 35,000 cities and townships, school systems, you know, hospital systems, they all have a procurement process. So collectively, there's 85,000 different type of agencies out there. They need businesses to work with them on a continual basis. So if I would go look at federal opportunity, there's about over 30,000 federal opportunities right now. If I'm looking at all the other municipalities, we're talking about 3.5 to 4 million opportunities at any given time. So there's never a shortage of opportunities in terms of the volume, because there's another bus coming, another contract that's coming your way. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to play hide and seek. You don't have to dig too deep, because it's right in front of you.
Well, I think what we should do is we should pull up the statistics. Let's get on USA Spending and let's see what the numbers tell us about grants and contracts.
That sounds like a good idea. And maybe we'll continue our debate by looking at real numbers. So, all right. So I'm going to pull up, share my screen, and we're going to show you guys, you know, those who are joining us live. And we're going to look at how much at the federal level in terms of was awarded to for-profits and nonprofits from both worlds here. So we're going to use a website called USA Spending. And so I'm going to come in here and type in usaspending.gov. This should be one of your favorite websites if you are interested in grants or contracts, because this is where you look at historical data, how much the federal government through their you know partners, whether state, counties, and cities, how much they awarded to at the local level and how much they awarded to organizations. So I'm going to go usaspending.gov. I'm going to click on Start Search.
Hey, before we get into the Start Search, we have a question. Okay. And so I'm going to put it on the screen. Margo asked, she said, so a nonprofit can provide a service and get awarded a contract. Could you give an example?
We're going to dive deep into that in a second. So, but first, we're going to decide which is better, grants or contracts.
And, okay, Margo, we'll come back to your question.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that question, Margo, and go into some specifics in terms of how the world, how this world between for-profit and nonprofit actually converge. So I'm coming here. I'm going to start with contracts, because I think there's more contracts than there are grants. So I'm going to come in here. I'm going to click on fiscal year. I'm just going to choose 2024 so that we can see how much the federal government awarded in terms of contracts in 1 year. And then I'm going to come down here. I'm going to choose award type. And I'm going to put contracts and contract IDVs. So IDVs are indefinite delivery vehicles, like IDIQ contracts or something like that there. So I'm going to check this. In a second, we're going to look at grants. So we're just going to look at contracts first to see how much grants and contracts. So we're going to look at contracts. I'm going to click on submit. And what do you guys think? If you're joining us, put in the chat whether you think there's more contracts in terms of federal awarded contracts, or are there more grants? So put in there either contracts or grants,
or you could say Team Laney or Team Abe. I feel like I have some
Team Abe, obviously.
I feel like I have some good Team Laney, Team Grants here.
All right, so here's what we're learning. So 2024, they awarded 5.4 million contracts. So that's a lot of contracts. And for those of you who are good with math, divide that by number of 365 days, and it tells you how many contracts was awarded every day. Lane, you want to do the math on that? Well, I'm sharing this with everybody. So 5.4 million divided by 364 days. How many contracts are awarded every single day?
14,794 contracts are awarded every single day.
That's why I love contract, because there's more than enough to go around. And it tells us which agency awarded the most, but we're going to look at the total amount. So I'm going to come down here, and instead of month, I'm going to choose year, because I want to look at one fiscal year, 2024, from October 1st, 2023, till September 30th, 2024, which is a fiscal year for the government. And we're going to see $677 billion. That's a lot of money. So okay. I think there's going to be more contracts than there are grants.
All right, let's look at the grant side of it and see what it does. If you haven't voted yet, vote what you think, if you think it's going to be grants or contracts.
Ooh, I see a lot of people say contracts on the site. Only one person said Team Laney. Yay, Team
A. No, there's two. Guy also said Team Laney.
Okay, all right. So I'm gonna reset the filters, and we're going to see how much contract was awarded or how much grants was awarded in 2024.
Tanil is on my side, Team Laney.
All right.
Thank you, Tanil.
So I'm going to check grants. These are in terms of grants that the federal government awarded, and they award this year. Some of the grants, most of these here goes to, organizations such as some of yours, some of you who are joining us. So let's see. I'm going to hit submit, and we're going to see how much. So 488,000 grants. So almost 4.5 million less than number of contracts.
Yes. So it's 1,300 grants are on average giving out a day. But let's go look at the money side of things. So
let's debate this part here, because there's so much more contracts. 5.4 million versus 480,000. So about $5 million difference in terms of the number of awards. Obviously, contracts are better than. I'm afraid to show you guys the dollar amount, though. So HHS put out the most in terms of grants here, and then you got the Department of Transportation. But let's look at the total number. So I'm going to humble out and show you guys a number here. So let's look at the year.
We might already know what the number is. 1.2 trillion dollars in grants. So I would say that's a pretty big win for the grant side.
Purely based upon the dollar amount, I have to agree with you that there are, there's more money that goes into grants. Mm-hmm. But I will say this in addition, though, a lot of this money, if you look at where it goes to HHS, it goes to a pharmaceutical, multi-billion dollar corporation. It goes into research, which a lot of small business does not have the ability to do epidemiology research and lab research and lots of different things like that. So I would still say, Lainey, that yes, there's more money, but I would still say contracts are better. I'm not giving up yet.
I want to make a point. So the point is, this does not include grants that come from foundations. And we know that foundations are a huge part of the grant world. So we're only looking at federal and state grants here, and we're not seeing the foundation side, the private side of grants. So that could it's going to just make the number rise. And I think it makes the grant rise, which instead makes grants win.
Well, let's have that conversation at a future podcast. So we talk about foundations and outside of the government, what are the other type of grants out there? So I'd love to have that conversation And then we could talk about large companies that award contracts. So maybe that would be a great conversation for us to have. Large enterprise, Fortune 1000 companies, in terms of contracts and vendors that they use. And then we'll talk about foundations and the private sector grants on the private sector side. So I don't know, Lane, I don't think there's a clear winner here. I think there's pros and cons to grants and contracts. What do you think?
I think that the only way that we are going to be able to solve this is by a marriage of grants and contracts. What do you think, Abe?
You know, I have to agree with you that we have to consider whether you are a for-profit organization or a nonprofit organization, that you need both sides, both strategies to be properly funded. And let me make a few cases for that there. I think Margot asked a question earlier in terms of, I'm gonna share about from a nonprofit perspective, the best example, in fact, I'm gonna go back to USA Spending and let the numbers speak for itself here. So I'm gonna go back and share my screen. So this is the best example of how a nonprofit receive contracts. And you guys will be a little surprised by this here. So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to reset my filter. And I'm going to check, start off with grants only, because this is a nonprofit. And I'm going to come down to recipient. And let's talk about this here. So we're going to look at Stanford University. And we're going to look at this nonprofit. And we're going to look at how much grants do they receive. And this is a abnormal example, because most nonprofits are not a big university like this, sir. But you'll get the picture here in a second. So from a grant perspective, and this is, you know, most of this here, we can actually fine tune a little bit late, but they receive 8,992 grants. And if we look at the, in terms of years, I'm gonna look at the year, because we want to look at one fiscal year. So they receive in 2024, $789 million in grants. Wow. So you would not think that a university would do this, right? But because they do a lot of research. And so this is an example. Now, most universities don't do grants like this here and do not do contracts the same way that we're teaching you. But I'm using this as a case study that a nonprofit such as university, it could be a nonprofit that does homeless, you know, support the community. It could be any type of nonprofit that can use this strategy here. So this nonprofit here did $789 million. So let's look at their contracts. So I'm going to come in here. I'm going to uncheck grants. I'm going to check just contracts. Now, Lainey, what do you think? And maybe some of you here, do you think they have less contracts or more contracts or about the same?
I think they're going to have about the same. And I could be wrong on that, but I think they're going to have about the same.
Okay, let's see. So a lot less in terms of contracts. Let's look at the dollar amount. Let's come down here. Look at that. About the same. Less number of contracts. But they did $780 million in terms of grants, but they also did $733 million in terms of contracts.
Wow.
So what they're teaching us is this here, that a nonprofit can go after, if you implement the right strategy, you can go after contracts as well. So Stanford University, they understand, right? They understand that you need two wings to the airplane to thrive and to succeed. And many of you who are a for-profit organization, you never thought about, should I partner with a nonprofit to go after some grants? Or some of you who are nonprofits, you never consider, do I set up a for-profit arm? Yes, I did say that. A nonprofit can own a company. You can set up a LLC, which is a for-profit arm that acts on behalf of your nonprofit to pursue contracts. And there's different examples out there. And I've seen banks setting up nonprofit arms, and I've seen different nonprofits setting up for-profit arms for different purposes. And so a nonprofit can own a for-profit organization to fulfill your mission as you have stated in your bylaws and the organizational missions itself. What do you think, Lainey? You surprised by these numbers here?
I'm very surprised by these numbers, and I'm really excited as the podcast goes on and we have more guests and more episodes to dive into this idea of grants and contracts working together to fulfill the funding needs. If it is that other side, that for-profit side, if it's that nonprofit side, and some, I know I saw some comments about small businesses. There's some small business grants out there. I would say there's a lot of small business grants out there. So there's not just contracts, there's both. And I think that both are needed.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we looked at the example there, right? In terms of one university doing both there. So let's dive a little deeper in terms of, let's talk about the disadvantages of doing grants or contracts. What are your thoughts there, Lainey? What are some of the disadvantages of grants?
I think one of the biggest disadvantages, you mean a disadvantage of grants or doing both?
No, just grants itself, or both. It could be both.
Okay. I think one of the disadvantages of grants is capacity. So if there's large reporting scales that are needed, it's hard with a small organization to keep up with those asks that are being asked by, I see this a lot in the federal side, the federal government.
Yeah, the management side of it. I think that's a disadvantage in the contract world as much as the grant world, because you have to have a contract administrator. So in the grant world, you have a grant administrator. In the contract world, you have a contract administrator who has to stay in compliance. You have to do the reports. You have to send in insurance requirements. You have to send in, send in paperwork so that you can complete the invoice, so you can submit the invoice through the portal, through White Area workflow, and you can get paid in the process there. I think there are some specific, anytime you're dealing with government, there's a lot more paperwork. So that is a disadvantage with both.
I think another disadvantage to grant writing is that it's almost not taught enough how to properly grant write. And so people don't know how to do it. It's the same. I mean, I think this is the same for contracts. They don't know how to submit proposals. They don't know what to do to receive a contract, and they don't know how to receive a grant.
That's true. Well, let's flip the script then. So why don't we talk about some strategies of, and we're going to dive deeper in future podcasts, some very specific tactics, and we'll dive deeper into other things in terms of key strategies. But from just a general perspective, what are some key tactics or strategies that you've seen that has been effective in terms of you batting 100%? We got some things to learn from you in terms of how to succeed in the grant world.
Yes. So my biggest takeaway is reading directions. I know that sounds so simple, but so many people do not know how to read directions. And I take it like the story. Maybe I need to do this on the podcast one day of in elementary school. I remember I had a teacher, and you had to write down how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And she would make the peanut butter and jelly sandwich exactly how you wrote it down. So if you did not take the jar off of the peanut butter, then you couldn't put the peanut butter on the bread. You had to do step by step of what to do. And I think that a lot with grant writing, with if they tell you to have it in Times New Roman 12 point and 1-inch margins, just do it. Don't try to think that you're going to get away with it, or just read the directions and read them over again. I just did a federal grant and the instructions were 86 pages long, and I read the entire 86 pages. It was not fun. Like, I didn't enjoy reading it, but I had to make sure I did exactly what needed to be done to submit the grant.
Yeah, that's true for contracts as well. And I've seen some in terms of the instructions, right? They say, we want you to put it in a binder, put tabs in the binder, and each tab should say this here. And then we want you to make 4 copies. And then the 5th one is marked original, and the other 4s are marked copy. And in that, we want you to put a jump drive with each of the folder as well. And so if they give you specific instructions, just before anything else, before they read your proposal, you have to follow the basic instructions of what they're asking for. So I agree with you. You know, whether it's the contract world or the grant world, you have to follow the instructions.
I think it's funny too. So my parents are on this podcast. So, hey, Mom and Dad. And so they would probably think it's very funny that I say that my number one takeaway would be following instructions, because, you know, they did raise me. But another thing I think is a huge takeaway is knowing your programs, knowing your organization, and being able to explain that organization. If you can't, in very simple terms, explain to me what you're doing, then that kind of shows that you might not know what your organization is really about. And do not bleed your mission. It goes with knowing your organization, knowing your mission. You can't do everything. You have a niche. And I think that applies for the government contract. You want to be able to do a lot of things, but you also have a niche. You know what you're good at, and you know what you're able to do for the government.
Well, Lena, I'm glad my parents are not on the podcast, because I didn't follow instructions well. And, you know, coming from an Asian family, right? You either have to be a doctor, you either have to be an engineer or something like that in life. And I didn't do any of that, right? And then they also want you to marry a person in your community. I didn't do that. And so I'm kind of like the rebel. And if I wasn't the rebel, I wouldn't be doing government contracting in grants with you guys today here. So not following instructions, every now and then might pay off in some parts of your life. But when it comes to contracts and grants, you have to follow instructions. So absolutely correct in that regard.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I think following instructions are the biggest takeaway. I've talked to Margo with this a lot, and Margo explained this when she was doing her grant. If not everybody knows, I'm calling out Margo. She's with the North Georgia Community Foundation, and they have a grant cycle each year. And that's what she says. Some of the biggest takeaways and the biggest applications that get thrown out are people that don't follow the directions, that they do things that are specifically stated to not do.
Why don't you share a little about the North Georgia Community Foundation, what they do to help the nonprofit world?
Yes. So the North Georgia Community Foundation is located where I'm at in North Georgia. So we're north of Atlanta, about 45 minutes. And they help a lot of nonprofits. Just they do classes. They do have the grant program for local organizations. Me and Abe are actually teaching some of the classes next year. So that's exciting. You'll have to keep your eyes open for those. And then they also are a fund. So an organization can hold their money in that fund to either grow kind of like an investment account, or if an organization has not completed their 501c3 going through everything, they're also able to, operate under North Georgia Community Funds 501c3. So there's just a lot of opportunities. And if you're not from North Georgia, this is not the only community foundation. There's a lot out there. And I would definitely recommend, you know, doing some Google search to see which foundation is closest to you, to get involved with them and just, you know, learn from them and see how they can help your organization. William, they're the North Georgia Community Foundation.
Yeah, we actually, there was a company, a small business, they receive a small business grant from Bank of America. Mm-hmm. And they can use that fund to do any type of training. They can use that. It's to help develop the business owners, and they can choose to use that money any way they want to. And they chose to enroll in some of our training programs. And so they receive a grant for $10,000, and they came and they did enroll some of our training programs so that they can actually learn how to go out there and do more things as relates to contracts. So yeah, so I bring that up because that is a for-profit organization that gave out a grant to another for-profit organization, but the funding was managed by the Texas Community Foundation. So a community foundation does a lot of great work to help, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit, some of their missions, which they don't necessarily have the ability to manage. In the Bank of America situation, Bank of America gave their money to this community foundation for the Texas Community Foundation to manage the funds that they're awarding out as grants. So I love what Margo and the North Georgia Community Foundations are doing, and they support outside of the North Georgia area as well in other programs as well. So thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah, so we have a question, and I want to highlight this before we keep going. So it's, what are your thoughts on how government grants or contracts could be affected by the new administration? And the reason I wanted to highlight this is we actually already have planned an episode. It is on, I want to say, January 22nd. And it'll be Wednesday. We're every Wednesday, and that's what we'll be talking about. So it's the Wednesday after the inauguration, and we're just going to be talking about historically what administration changes do we think we could see? You know, what have we seen going on in the federal world?
Ooh, yeah, that's exciting to talk about how every 4 years, right, we have a new administration, whether it's a Republican administration coming in or a Democrat administration coming in. To you and I, Lainey, we're agnostic, right? As an organization that support grants and contract the community that's in this world here, we don't care what your politics are. You leave your politics at home when you're talking to us, right? But what we what we do care about is how do you maximize the opportunities as it relates to grants and contracts, regardless of which administration is in office, because in this world here, it doesn't matter. Your nonprofit still has to operate, even though you didn't vote for that president, or your for-profit still has to operate, even though the person you voted didn't win. Right. So it doesn't matter. You still have to keep your life going. You still have to keep your organizations moving forward. And we're in that January 22nd episode. We're going to talk about how to thrive in this new administration, or if you don't know how to thrive, how you can potentially be hurt drastically by the new administration.
Yeah. We have one more question, and then I want to highlight some amazing opportunities that we have. It's a pretty long question, but Tanil just had a question, and it's this idea of kind of being a funder pass-through. So two of her biggest grants, which I work with another organization that the grant she's talking about, I'm familiar with it because I help with that one. So what she's being say is that they have to follow all federal guidelines, and then they submit through a supplier form and spend the money, submit the receipts. So it's kind of like a contract. And she said, is this common? I would say it's common because I've seen it a lot. I don't know if Abe's seen this. I don't know if it's necessarily the organizations I'm working with that I've seen this a lot, or if you think this is common, Abe. That's the question. Is this common for grants?
I would say not as common from my experiences with it. But the word pass through, the government hates the word pass through. So I'll speak of it from the contract perspective because I have more experience as and reference from that perspective. And so anytime there is a pass through, you have to be very careful how you structure that. And if the government sniff anything that is a pass-through, they'll probably deallocate the fund, or they will terminate that contract for convenience. And so there may be different reasons why And so you don't want to do anything that is considered a true pass-through.
Yeah, so and what she's talking about, it's they didn't do the pass-through. What it is it's a the federal organization gives money to a state organization, and the state organization has a grant program that money is used to go through. So that's what she's talking about, pass-through. Exactly. So, and we've seen that, especially with human services organizations, that's seen a lot with grant programs and human services.
Yeah, and the government, let's talk about the flow of money a little bit. Most of the grant funding, we talk about $1.2 trillion. The way that money flows to you as a nonprofit or you as an organization that's going after grants, the federal government has the deepest pocket, right? For a few reasons. They can print money, right? Yeah. We authorize them to print money. They're the only people that can print money. Now, in a future conversation, I'm going to teach you how you can print money too, because that's a completely legally print money. That's a whole separate conversation. And so there are some legal ways of how you can print money, but we're going to save that for a future conversation. But they, you know, technically they are the only organization that can print money. They can borrow money on our behalf, and they can actually go out there and raise taxes to have more spending. So from that perspective, they have the most robust funding. And then from that, there's different needs in the community. And then that money will go to state. And then some of that funding will go to counties. And some of that money will go through cities and local municipalities. So from the perspective, there is pass-through. Yes, there are pass-through in that regard in terms of how the money flows from the federal all the way down to a local organization. And then from so I'm going to use DOT as an example. We've had a lot of natural disasters recently. And so the US DOT awards contracts, but that money is not given out directly to businesses. That money goes to state, and then some of that money goes to cities and counties. And then the local cities will say, we have to rebuild this bridge. We have to rebuild this road, and then they will spend the money and they will put out the contracts. Same thing with grants. Grants will flow from the federal to a state to a county. And I've seen that for community organizations. I've seen that trickle down. In fact, the city of Atlanta received some small business grants to support entrepreneurship. And so the city of Atlanta actually partnered with the Government Contractor Association, where Laney and I support. They partnered with us to where they didn't have the training programs in place. And so, well, they have certain type of training program. They didn't have a training program in terms of helping businesses win contracts. So they sent their students to our organization, and then we became a pass-through partner, receiving some of the grant money through the city of Atlanta, where they pay us to actually deliver the work. In that situation, we weren't responsible for the compliance side of it. We weren't responsible for the reporting. The city of Atlanta, because they're the recipient, they ultimately have the fiduciary responsibility to report, to do the compliance, to do all the requirements back to the federal government itself.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to move on, and I want to highlight these three grants. I think you have some contracts you want to highlight as well. Three grants. The first one I want to highlight, you said earlier that contracts have bigger opportunities, and there's this grant. It is my goal now. Me and you have set a goal as of this morning that we want someone that we support to win this grant. And it is the MacArthur Foundation, $100 million grant. So one organization each year receives $100 million as a grant. And it's really just for doing good in the world is what their thing. So it's large missions. It's not for one specific thing. And there's a lot of in and outs. It's not open right now. I think it'll open again in 2025. I think it closed out in August or September. And I had looked at it. I had actually tried to convince Margo to apply for it. And it's the biggest thing with a $100 million grant is you can apply, but if you do not have the capacity and the systems in place to receive $100 million and do the work with that $100 million, it's probably not the best to apply for that. So, but that's a really cool grant, the MacArthur Foundation, and we're putting all the links in the comments. Another grant is actually a small business grant. It is called the Kitty Fun Mompreneur Business Grant, and it is for women-owned businesses who specifically are moms. So if anybody out there is a mom, has a small business, you have to have two employees working for you. And I'm not sure all the ins and outs, if they can be contracting employees, if they have to be full-time, we'd have to look at everything for that. And they're giving 25 $1,000 grants to support your small business. So that could be a really cool one. And then the next one I want to highlight, it's a local one here in Atlanta. It's called the Scott Hudgens Family Foundation. And they kind of have a long mission statement. I'm going to read it. It's improving the lives of individuals who through physical, mental, or socioeconomic disadvantage are unable to help themselves. They want to promote self-sufficiency through community development projects, helping education, healthcare, and the arts. So that does include a lot of organizations. And historically, I was able to look at their 990, which I know a lot of you know what 990s are, but they're public information. So you can look and see what foundations are giving to, how much money they're giving to. It's kind of like USA Spending, but on the foundation side. And historically, last year, they gave grants anywhere from $5,000 to $2.5 million. So that is a huge opportunity. And that's open right now. So that closes February 28th.
Wow, those are some great grant opportunities there. Thanks for sharing. And then these grants are posted into the chat area. So if you're interested in some of these here and investigating further, look there. But I want to talk about some contracts and contract opportunities. So I'm going to share my screen. And this opportunity is actually available very soon. And so we're releasing this here before it comes out, so that you can plan ahead. So this is, let me share my screen and then we're gonna talk about this opportunity here. So. So this is a $49 billion opportunity put out by NIH, the National Institutes of Health. And this is for what they call the Business and Professional Support Services, BPSS. And this is version 4 of this here. So that means there's been 3 previous versions of it. And so if we know what the award history has been, we know that every 5 years it comes out for renewal. So that's how we know that it's coming up, because the previous incumbent or incumbents now is coming up for renewal, so now we can prepare in advance for this $49 million opportunity set. So they're looking for different type of services, right? From program management to business process improvement to policy development and different type of administrative services or professional services. So this is an IDIQ, and IDIQ stands for indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity, meaning that there is a ceiling amount of $49 million that they're going to potentially create task order. Every time they need professional services, whether they need someone to come and create a policy, to manage a program that they have, and this is for 5 years. So within this 5 years timeframe, they're going to continue to pull from this $49 million. And if your NAICS code is 541-611, this is a great opportunity for you to do some consulting and professional services. And then it goes into a few different task areas. They talk about financial analysis, which some of you are financial service companies, or business solutions and acquisition lifecycle support. And then they talk about business process improvement, communication, whether you're PR or leadership training or advertising, program planning and management services, policy development, implementation, administration, system integration work. This goes more into the IT side of this here. And then HR solutions as well, and Center for Excellence. So this is a great opportunity. It is anticipated. the existing contract just got extended. The version 3 just got extended. So it's going to end on February 12th. So what that means is that we need to prepare, because the anticipated release date of the RFP is sometime this month, December itself. So it's going to be released anytime now, and we need to pay attention. And then we have, if this project is going to run till February, that means we have about 2 months, maybe 3 months to, once it's released, we usually have about a month, because this is a slightly larger project. We're going to have about maybe a month to 2 months to prepare for the proposal submission. And so if that means it ends on February 12th, that means we need to prepare for it. And they're going to choose a winner first. And even though the incumbent continues to do work on it, they're going to choose a winner in along that process. We submit the proposal, they choose a winner, and then the new company will come in place before the existing company ends, because there has to be a transition process, because they don't want to go without services. So this is one opportunity. And then I want to talk about an opportunity that can be any amount of money, right? You tell the government how much you want. Now, have you ever been part of a contract where you tell the government how much they should pay you? This is a very little known contracting vehicle. And so I'm going to share with you guys a secret, a little known secret that most people have never done this technique here. Is I'm going to share with you a principle called unsolicited proposal. And it falls under FAR 15. Now, some of you, you love the FAR, and some of you hate the FAR. So FAR 15.6 talks about unsolicited proposal. And here's what I mean by this here. Unsolicited proposal means that the government has a specific problem, but they have not specifically asked for a solution. What does that mean? Most of the time, we wait until the government says, hey, we have a problem, we create a budget, we'll put out forecasts, and now we're putting an RFP out there, and then you as a business will submit a proposal at that time. This is the opposite of that. So in an unsolicited proposal, the government has a problem. Whether they know they have a problem or not, there's a problem that exists. And if they know it, but they haven't asked for a solution, or if they don't know it, they're not even looking for a solution. So here's how an unsolicited proposal works. And this is where I talk about where the nonprofit and the for-profit world intersect, right? And intersect through opportunities such as this here. So unsolicited proposal is exactly that. The government didn't ask for a proposal. And so what you want to do is you want to identify a pain point or a problem you know that most likely exists, or you know that it exists and the government just doesn't know that it exists for them. And then you present to them a innovative, or, well, I don't know why it's doing this here, but I want to highlight this here, but I'll just mouse over it. You want to highlight an innovative or unique solution to bring that to their attention. So here's what that means. This is not meant for you to say, I do management consulting and we're going to come in and do management consulting for you. Or we do janitorial services and we want to come and do janitorial service to clean your facility. That's not for marketing purposes of existing services that you have. Now, if you develop an innovative program management technique that will save them what normally would take two people over a year to do, and you can actually do it with one person in 6 months. If you develop a methodology, a program management methodology, or you develop a software program to make things more efficient, or you develop a janitorial cleaning product that if you spray the products onto the floor and spread it out, it will continue to keep that clean and kill bacteria for a month long. So if you have something unique or innovative, then this is the method using an unsolicited proposal. But let me go in here and talk about, I'm gonna share my other document. and talk about where the nonprofit and for-profit world intersect here related to this. So this is an example of a unsolicited proposal. So this company, they submitted a unsolicited proposal to an agency. But let's go down into the, so this is the template, right? So this is exactly what the government is asking for in an unsolicited proposal. Now, here's the most important fact about unsolicited proposal. If you tell the government they have a problem and they say, we want your solution, it's a direct award to your company and you tell them what the price is. And they will most of the time, if not all of the time, give you the price you tell them.
Yeah. I know, Abe, you know this. I got to work on a really cool unsolicited proposal last year for concrete remediation. And that was, it's very much like a grant, like writing a grant, but it was fun to get to kind of go through this process and see everything.
Yes. And so this is how usually they want you to do some type of research along with this to prove your methodology, especially if it's newer technology, right? And so this is where you need to partner with a nonprofit, or you need to partner with a university, you need to partner with a research lab, you need to partner, non-governmental organizations, for-profit, nonprofit has to work together. Now, you don't have to, because if you are the only one that developed the solution and you already know how to do it, but a lot of time when you're doing more research related, you would partner with a research university. They would do the research component. You would do you would drive the vision and the scope of work itself. And then through that, the government will fund you, and then you will pay your partners to do the research or the prototyping or some of the additional development to fulfill the scope of what your proposal is to them. And so this is, and then you tell them exactly your costs. And this is what's beautiful about this, right? You tell them the cost, and then they will most of the time work whatever you propose to them. If you want a copy of this here, I will actually put this here in the link. Our show producer does not have a copy of this here, so I'm going to actually put this link into the chat on behalf of our show producer, so that you guys can have a copy of this. Of this proposal, unsolicited proposal template. So that's what you want to do is, the world of grants and contract merge in many different ways. Sometimes we don't always think about it. And I'm going to wrap it up by telling you a true story about a young lady that actually submitted a unsolicited proposal and she won. So Blue Scorpion. So this is her company. So this is Kimberly. I think she has a picture of her down here. Let me see. Yeah, so this is Kimberly. So Kimberly submitted 20 proposals and she did not win. And then she came and discovered the Government Contractors Association. And she said, Abe, man, I haven't won any of these proposals I've submitted. What should I do? And so she learned about unsolicited proposal. And then she attended. And so now that's in the back of her mind. So she attended a government event. There was a panelist. The panelist works for USDA, Department of Agriculture. And then the panelist was talking about a problem that they had. The problem that they were sharing was that they know all the big farmers out there, and they don't know all the small farms. So Kimberly, as a PR, a organization that knows how to engage the community, she said, I think I might have a way to help USDA. So after the panelists left the stage, Kimberly approached her and said, hey, can I meet up with you? They met. And she said, can I submit an unsolicited proposal to you? The panelist said, absolutely. So she took some time, submitted the unsolicited proposal. Her budget was, her solution was that she had a unique way of how she can engage the local farmers so that she can gather their data and take that data to the to USDA, so the USDA can know who are all the local urban local farmers there. Her budget was $2 million, and they said, Kimberly, we want to award this here to you, right now we don't have the $2 million, but we can do it in piecemeal. So can we award you a pilot project for $125,000, and then we can continue to work upon that until we reach the goal of what you proposed to us? So that's how she won her first government contract, is using a direct award method called unsolicited proposal.
That's so cool. We need to get her on the podcast.
Yes, she has lots of stories to share. So
everyone, make sure that if you have not introduced yourself, you put it in the chat. We're about to spin the wheel for a giveaway. Abe, would you like to tell everybody what next week's podcast is going to be about?
Oh yeah, we got some good stuff to talk about with everybody, and we are planning a lot of, you know, a whole series of grants and contract podcasts for the coming future. But next week, please join us right back here live 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, and we're going to talk about how the Grinch stole funding. How the Grinch stole funding. Not Christmas, but funding.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and spin. I'm going to present my screen and spin for our freebie.
So before you spin, I'm going to talk about what is the price. So let me share my quick screen, and then you can share your screen in a second. So let me talk about what is the price first, and then that way everybody know what the price is, so that if you get this is what you're going to receive. So, and if you I think everybody put in their company name already. So if you have not, is it too late, Lainey, to?
No, it's not. I actually did it by names, just because I think some people weren't necessarily with companies. But yeah, if you put in your name, I'll put it in here.
All right, so put your name into the chat area, and Lainey's going to do a drawing, a spin the wheel drawing for this series. So what you're going to receive is this course here. So this course here is how to win millions in contracts without having to write complex proposal. And most of you guys, like, yeah, you don't like writing proposals. There is, you know, so I'm going to teach you some very specific techniques that you don't have to write complex proposal. Very simple, easy submission techniques that you can do with this here. And so in this course here, you're going to learn a lot of different tips and tricks in here, about 11 hours of training videos in here. So it goes over a lot of different things, you know, from the opportunities of the government market to how to learn to speak Governese, to what is competition strategies, from being a niche market to a generalist in the government marketplace, to marketing, to lots of different things in here. So this is the course. We normally sell this course here for $2,000. So this is the normal course, but we're going to give it away for one lucky winner for joining us and hang with us to the very end. So one lucky winner, Lainey, take it away.
Okay, I'm adding the last name. We've got some stragglers coming in. Okay. All right, I'm going to spin. You have to be present to win. So if we draw your name, you have to comment. And if you don't comment in a couple of seconds, you know, we're going on to our next winner. Who is it going to be? My neighbor. Scott Soper. Woo! Scott, are you still on here?
Scott, let us know you're still with us, and we're going to show you how.
Oh, he's here.
All right. So, Scott, what you want to do is, my show producer is going to put our email into the chat, and then you want to send us an email. And the email, which is very simple, subject line is winner during the podcast, and then she will send you specific instructions of how you can get that course free, $2,000, no cost to you. And then you can learn, government contracting, and you're welcome to have, you know, if you have a business, you can use that. Or if you don't have a business, you can share that with a business. You can enroll in the course and then share the course with one business that you know of. So with that, Lainey, you ready to wrap up our first podcast? Yes. It's been so fun hanging out with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for everybody for joining Abe today. This has been so fun, and I cannot wait to see everybody next week for How the Grinch Stole Funding.
Wow, that sounds exciting. I'm going to wear my ugly Christmas shirt for that podcast.
I'm trying to come up with what I'm going to do. I might dress up as the Grinch. Who knows? We'll see.
Okay. All right. Come and be surprised by what Lainey's going to be dressed up as. I'm going to wear my ugly Christmas sweater. But join us next episode. Now, if you are new to this podcast here, please like and subscribe. We do this here every single week on Wednesday, 11:30 Central Eastern Time. And the links are different every time, but go to Gov Association or govevent.com. govevent.com. My show producer is going to put the link on the chat there so that you can register for all of our events ahead of time so that you can join us. And we've got a lot of exciting things to plan ahead for you guys. And then like and subscribe. If you click on the notification bell in our different channels, it will also alert when the next episode will be. Absolutely no cost to come hang out with us here. We talk about lots of tips, strategies, and just our rants about what's happening in the world of grants and contracts. So signing off. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Until next time, remember, you are one grant or one contract away. Yes. From the goals that you want for your organization. You're one grant, one contract away from the new home that you want, one grant, one contract away from the new staff member that you want, one grant, one contract away. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
Bye.